Ready to move to the city, Mr. Woods?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, there was some board that you put things on the regular agenda. Saturday, we talked last week about the horse, the trail ride that's coming up this last week. And there were between 150 and 200 horses and riders out there, riders with the horses along a lot of other folks. And that was great reviews about the public works and parks and rec staff and the job they've done on trails, especially since the big snowstorm, they've taken down lots of trees. And folks had just a great time out there. So thanks very much to our grounds crew and to the leadership of both public works and parks and rec and all the staff that were part of that. Here's some pictures of the event. You can see, I'm not sure the horses are smiling, but people sure are smiling and having a good time. There were just dozens and dozens and dozens of horse shows all along Pleasant Grove there on Saturday morning. It was important to stay for it. And what a great way to showcase our park and bring people in from outside our county.
How many miles do we have there on trails?
There are about a little over 16 miles of trails currently.
And what did it cost? What kind of revenues did we bring?
$450, which is about $4,500 too low. Truly, obviously, a good deal, like $3 a rider. You could charge $5 or $10 for riders or something this good. I'm not suggesting we should change that. We do have really reasonable rates for most of the things we do. We both have a back in time. Got really appreciative emails back from kind of the leader of the equestrian group here. And really praising public works and parks and rec for their collaboration and for their hard work in getting trails ready after the snowstorm. So a lot of the collaboration with the county staff and volunteers. We're working on a number of things just to give you some updates. I'm working on a senior services pitch. I was at the aging in place fair on Saturday, and a lot of really great information. Talked to a number of the folks there. We've already added to the Humana 411 on our website, a senior services page, and when you go to it, it just says coming soon. But we're going to be adding information for a lot of those types of senior services in one location so people can get to and click on for resources. So that'll be up in the next couple of weeks, I think. Putting together all the directives and requests that are in your minutes. Every time you have a meeting, if there's a directive request, it goes to the bottom of the action report. We don't really have a track of those as well as we should. So you'll get in your package each month a report like you get for the Board of Supervisors contingency money and the status of it. It'll be a list of outstanding or recently closed directives and requests that the board had. So you can see what the status of it is and if you've got a question about it. So it'll just be a PDF added to the end of your file so you can review each time. And if there's any questions, I'll be able to address those. I just went back to the beginning of 2012, because most things before that have been closed here for a good document. So you'll see that initial list is about 3 pages long. After that, it'll come down to the last 3 or 4 months and things that are still outstanding on that list of requests. We're also working on updated personnel policies. We've had an intern working with Gail Parrish in our HR office. She's done a really fantastic job of pulling together all of our personnel policies, trying to get updates to it, so we can bring you a comprehensive package of updates to the personnel manual, like we do with the person manual and the procurement policy. So you'll see that come up here in the future.
You said we had an intern?
Yeah.
She's
from local?
She's local, yes. Scottsville.
An unpaid internship. She was one of the HR experience, and so she's not going to pay for 3 years, and then she's been a lot of extra work down there, which is good. And then I'm working on staff budgets that just couldn't really coalesce with the staff that we worked on, so I can do an updated list of the framework filled out in this, and things that are longer term over the course of the year. This one is tomorrow. This is actually really kind of focused on staff, but the supervisors are welcome to attend. We're having a post-budget pizza party on the open the privilege of actually passing budget tonight. So we can put it to bed. And we have a budget and first is born on two different cakes. So if we don't have a budget passed tonight, we use one cake, and if we have a budget passed, we use both. But anyway, in the morning from tomorrow, lunchtime. We're going to do kind of a post-budget after-action review to look at all the folks that submit things for budget, whether it's agencies or Some of these, as soon as we get a little bit of free time, probably works, we'll finish up this, the waste treatment plant, and then the utilities costs has been on it for quite a number of months, we'll get those worked out. Especially when we get the new assistant public works director on board, and if we slow down a little bit on water reuse, that could bring some time to do some analysis on these, getting back to you.
On the last one, real new high school cost, there would be some way you could find out what it costs to make it a silver green. We're not the top green, but how much of that, all the things that, and we could know what things made that, what did we have to do in order to make that a green, a silver green, a heck of a silver, we're not gold. We couldn't afford to go, but that would help me.
Okay, so we'll try to wait so we get a nice comprehensive report so we've got.
Well, that will include the library cost for the electricity. We talked about that some months back.
Yeah, there's several of these on the bottom of that there for a number of months. It's just been in water. And so we've been really trying to commit to try to get these down. Hopefully the budget dropped up. Because it's a little bit of a during closeout and on the other projects we're working on. So I think we should know that we dropped up over the next month or so, in the month of May. Any other questions about the board?
Questions from the county district?
Yeah, the design of the sports project was on the list.
Oh, it is on the master list, the one that I showed on the slide. Okay. It's on the master list. I just don't have it on that back list.
Okay.
Because I just forgot to add, but the master list is the staff work done. It shows projects for the year. That was still the problem on it.
When will that be brought to the board?
Next meeting, May?
No.
No?
No, not May 1st.
Why not?
Because I don't think the staff can get it done by May 1st.
Only if there's a committee recommendation.
Yeah, then committee make a recommendation to you at your next meeting.
Okay. Yeah, today there were two supervisors, two planning commissioners, two citizen members. Details and all that kind of stuff can be sorted out by the task force, where the case may be, but, at least in terms of getting started, that's really all we're looking for. Any other questions? Hearing none, we'll go ahead and move into the first round of public comment. We do have a public hearing regarding Amy Winsford, Commerce, Landscape, and Materials, Supplies, and Business. If you have comments with that, please reserve them for the public hearing. Beyond that, if you have public comments from the Board of Supervisors, please remember to keep them 5 minutes addressed to the Board and on topic. Anyone wishing to address the Board? Seeing none, go ahead and close it. No. We had one person moving in the back.
No, this is for supervisors.
Okay. Well, you have found with public comment.
Are you ready?
Yeah,
I'm done. Okay.
Oh, come on. I'm sorry.
Okay. Give me some time.
Yes,
I'm seeing you there.
This is not for the 5 minutes.
This is a part of the 5 minutes? Okay. Good evening. I'm Ophelia Whittington, and I live at 225 Creasytown Lane. And I'm also the president of the Jabra Senior Center Club. And usually when I come here, I'm always asking for something. But tonight, I come here to thank you. Thank you for all you have done. Thank you for your caring and understanding in regards to the decision you made to increase the 2014 budget for JABRA. We are truly grateful, and on behalf of all the seniors, I want to say thank you.
Anyone else wishing to address the board? Not tonight. Okay. We'll go ahead and close that round of comments. We'll go ahead and move into our public hearing. Tab N, SUP 1301, Amy Williams, Rich Palmer, Landscaping, Material Supply Business, Mr. Chubb.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the board, this item is SUP 1301. It's an SUP for a landscaping material supply business in the Columbia Election District. It subject parcel is on a little more than 4 acres of land, tax map 5, section A, parcel 61. It is zoned agricultural, and they are proposing, applicants are proposing landscaping, excuse me, material supply business with outdoor storage of mulch, topsoil, and building stone. This is a location overview. It is in the Zion Crossroad planning area. Adjacent properties are zoned A1 and B1. It's the parcel delineated with in the green lines there. This is an aerial image of the subject property. I would say that more than 70-75% is vegetative. It's woodlands. It is near the 250-15 intersection in the Zion CPA. Back at the February 14th Technical Review Committee meeting, at that time VDOT stated that the entrance to the site would abide by VDOT access management standards, and there have been ongoing conversations between the applicants and VDOT. One of the conditions with this SUP is that delivery times will be limited from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. during the day, and the VDOT is now saying that there's no left or turn lane requirement at this time unless they would consider some type of future expansion. So wanted to advise the board of that. Analysis on the site: the use should not tend to change the character and established pattern of the area. It is in the growth area, and there is a mix of residential and commercial uses existing in the area. Again, there's a fair amount of vegetation that will serve as a, if this is approved, it will serve as screening for the site from adjacent properties and from 15. It's on a little more than 4 acres, and it's visible to approximately 3 of the neighboring residential neighbors. Again, because it's zoned A1, it is the necessity for a special use permit. Would be allowed by right in the I-1 district. The nearest I-1 zoning is within 1/2 mile. Again, there's a fair amount of mixture of residential and industrial because it is in a growth area, it is in the Zion Crossroad Community Planning Area. Back at the March 27th Planning Commission meeting, Commission considered this request. There was some discussion with regard to possibly rezoning it. It is in a growth area, so rezoning to a higher density may be appropriate. However, the owner of the property indicated at that time he's not interested in considering rezoning at this time. Commission voted recommended approval 4-0. Staff is recommending 10 conditions with this SUP. Two, I want to emphasize tonight, the hours of operation would be between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Monday through Sunday. And then again, delivery times would be limited to the hours of 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Daily. In conclusion, this is a request for a special use permit for landscaping material supply business. Would be visible from The business would be visible from Route 15 and the nearest dwelling about 300 feet away. The board may want to consider some of the potential adverse impacts, including traffic entering and exiting the property, visibility of outdoor storage areas. I want to show a few photographs. The applicants have taken great efforts to improve the visible looks of the property. As you can see in these photos, I have a before and after here. While Flavanna doesn't have any designated entrance corridors, this Route 15 is arguably an entrance corridor, and they've taken a lot of steps to improve the looks of this property, front of the building. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions, and Ms. Williams and Mr. Palmer are here tonight also.
Any immediate questions from Mr. Tucker?
It's a perfect location for it. It's intermingled with the
pursue auto repair locations for within what?
Approximately.
Traffic on that side of Simon's Crossroads is the widest side of four-way traffic.
Mr. Chairman. They are on 15.
Just expand a little bit on kind of what's said. There was discussion in the Planning Commission about potentially rezoning this property to a commercial or industrial use. The reason for that, I think it was Mr. Bidden, not the traffic, and their point was that if it remains A1, but there are B1 or business or industrial zone properties around it, those properties would have to set back as from A1 property, even though this is really a commercial or industrial use. And the commission thought it would make sense to go ahead and rezone this. The landowner didn't want to do that at this time. And it was perfectly valid, sound reasons why he didn't. My suggestion to the Planning Commission was that wasn't really essential for this purpose, for this discussion, because the use is perfect. The use can easily be done as easily as anyone else can be in business or industrial districts. But that is one thing that I might want to bear in mind for future reference. And note that it would be possible for the county to initiate that rezoning itself. I'm not suggesting you should do that now. The landowner had good reason not to want to do it at this point. But that you're not foreclosing anything by not considering it. And that it shouldn't be considered as a negative for this application that the Planning Commission discussed it.
Thank you, Mr. Payne. Chair motion. I move the Board of Supervisors to approve SUP 13-01 with respect to 4.48 acres on tax map 5, section A, parcel 61, with the conditions as described in the staff report.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Hollenbrook, seconded by Mr. Chesser. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. It passes 5-0.
Mr. Chairman, just as a note, I think it's important to commend the owners for the work they've done on that property, just to make that the property a real eyesore for a long time. It looks amazing when you drive by now. I came by this morning and actually visited me on Science Crossroads, and it really looks nice.
Yes, it does. Thank you very much for the effort you put in. It's
certainly nice to ask you to place up a motor vehicle. You're able to start out at a place like this, but now it's huge.
Yeah.
So when you say something about this quiet corner in this intersection, I would gauge what happened in Virginia and Merrifield in this particular landscape. It's quite large. It could be quite large, and there could be a lot of opportunity. So to their benefit.
Thank you very much. Moving on to action matters, we have a tab of resolution for Fair Housing Month, April 2013. Mr. Nichols?
So, we have a representative
here. Okay, great. Good evening. I'm Karen Reifenberger, Deputy Director with Piedmont Housing Alliance. Thank you so much for recognizing Fair Housing Month. I would like to, should I read the resolution?
No.
Oh, okay. I wanted to also highlight a couple of special events happening this month. Go ahead and do it. Okay, thanks. We have two special events for Fair Housing Month because this April commemorates the 45th anniversary of the Federal Fair Housing Act. And on Tuesday, April 23rd, there will be a Fair Housing Forum addressing the topic, Is There a Fair Housing Gap? And we'll have representatives from HUD and Richmond talking about HUD and the Virginia Fair Housing Office and their role in enforcing the fair housing laws and encouraging localities to affirmatively further fair housing. We'll also have a planner from the Thomas Jefferson Planning District talking about the Fair Housing and Equity Assessment, and we'll be talking about our recent Fair Housing Compliance testing report that showed that there are differences in treatment based on race and familial status or having children in the family, as well as disability in rental transactions. On the following day, on Wednesday, April 24th, we're having a fair and accessible housing seminar for people with disabilities and their advocates, and so we encourage everyone to come. We also have our posters and ads this month that says housing discrimination has no place in our nation. And just a reminder to everyone that throughout the year, one of PHA's programs is its Fair Housing Program. And if anyone has a question about fair housing or a concern about housing discrimination, we encourage them to contact us.
Any questions from the board?
Mr. Chair, I move to approve the resolution entitled Fair Housing Program that supports equal housing opportunity and seeks to further fair housing.
I understand. Motion made by Mr. Chester, seconded by Mr. Weaver. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Passes 5-0.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Moving on to tab P, FY 2014 to 2018 Capital Improvements Plan.
As a preface to what the before I was going to talk about, I mentioned this to the chairman earlier this week, and a surprise to the rest of you. We're going to be requesting a change to the CIP. It's going to be taking something off the CIP for fiscal year 14 and requesting to move the funding to fiscal year 13 now because of the timing issue. So I'll show you that in a second. It doesn't affect the tax rate or the tax or the budget. It lowers the budget totally on both revenue side and expenditure side, but it won't affect the tax rate.
These are projects that were in the FY14 CIP that were going to be funded with proffers. So the money has already been collected. The money is already there. In order for the schools to get started in a timely fashion with the things they want to do, they would like to move it to the FY13 budget, because when school's out, obviously, is the ideal time to do some flooring and carpet replacement and upgrade the playgrounds. So the proposal is to take the carpet replacement completely out of FY16, move that $50,000 to FY13, and take the that was in 14. Take the carpet replacement, $100,000, move it to 13, and take the elementary school playgrounds and move it down to 50 because they believe they'll have excess playground equipment from the two schools, and move that also to 13.
The schools earlier this week, the problem is a matter of timing. If you approve this CIP tonight, and the CIP goes forward with the existing items on it, the yellows that are marked at the bottom, then they can't award those contracts until July 1st. And because we're so late in the summer then, trying to get the playground equipment moved, the carpet replacement done before, while we're trying to renovate Central Elementary and two schools, trying to do that at that late date just is too tight a time frame. So essentially, this is a $200,000 request on the CIP coming down to $150,000 request, exact same dollars, just moving it to now, because we put it in fiscal year 13, we'll bring the motion at your next meeting. We're putting it in fiscal 13, and as soon as you approve it May 1st, the same dollars as before, but then they can execute the contract right after that, so that they have got from May through the rest of the summer to get the projects done before the kids come back to school in the fall. So there's no dollar change at all other than an actual cost avoidance of $50,000 in the future, but the same exact dollars being used, just being used earlier, and it changes the total dollar value of your budget, but it doesn't, all it does is pull off revenue management to raise the tax rate that you have proposed. The average is already exactly the same. We'll show you that on the other sheet.
My question is, after 3 months of working on this budget, how it costs now?
Yeah, it would be better if we were all had better foresight and could anticipate everything, but it's been a pretty busy spring, and the schools have been trying to get their planning done just exactly the right way and trying to figure out the sequence and everything. And until the budget gets proposed by the board and then adopted, it's hard for them to do planning too. about it. I didn't think, I just assumed July 1st would be okay. Because, and I knew we couldn't cut the contract until July 1st, but I just assumed that would be okay. And so live and learn. We'll watch for these kinds of projects where timing is of essence when it comes to the school. If you're doing a technology upgrade, some of those have to be done in the summer too while the kids are out of school. So the good thing is it's actually a savings, long-term cost avoidance. And it doesn't affect the budget at all, but it just allows us to more efficiently use the money that you're preparing to approve tonight.
Where is this property going to be put?
Well, maybe the school nurse can talk to Mrs. Keller wanted to make sure that we understand this is really flooring replacement, not necessarily carpet.
The board is also concerned.
The board has asked before about carpet, and they certainly have some plans to look at regular tile or other kinds of lineup instead of carpet where it makes best sense and where it may be more cost effective. So they're going to look at flooring in those schools, not just replacing carpet for carpet. It doesn't make
this has been going on for years and years and years. And that's what I'm concerned about.
She and I actually talked this morning. She called me again this afternoon about the flooring versus carpet, but I'm sure that you're aware of that distinction. So, again, I hate the last minute drop on you, except that it doesn't change anything other than our ability to contract early with the exact same dollars we would have otherwise done. So on your CIP sheet you've got in front of you, the yellow lines are just not included in the totals anymore in any of those years because it will be reflected in the fiscal year 13 CIP at $150,000 total rather than $200,000 total.
Yeah, because I had asked why we think out of $50,000 and then go 2 years and put it out $50,000 if we want to do it. It seems to me, so this brother asked us that we need to just do it all at one time.
That was an earlier effort to try to spend some dollars out of it.
I know.
Yeah,
but this is good.
Yeah, and I understand the surprises are not the best way to do business, but this is a surprise. It's actually a better and more efficient use of money, and it doesn't change the tax rate. So I would strongly recommend that you approve this.
Is there any objection to the board from this topic?
No.
No? I think Mr. Nichols will go ahead and adopt that then for the CFP.
There's several things that I'm going to discuss here on the CIP. First of all, as you know, we have $20 million here for the school in 5 years. And we say that we want to have good planning, but yet that $20 million is an arbitrary figure. So I don't know how that makes it better planning. It looks to me like it shades the whole thing. First of all, I think that this request should come from the school board. We are sort of preempting the school board, and I think it's up to them to come to us with what they feel their needs are. And I also feel that they'll be a lot better off to come up with a solution after they get in Central. By the time they close the two other schools, then they will know what rooms they might have vacant. With all the teachers, they all had space, so I think it would be a lot better if that were looked at, say, in December or January this coming year. With this, we don't even know how many students that will even accommodate. 20 million, I don't know what's that, I don't know how many square feet. We need to be a little bit more detailed of what we're going to do. We don't know where the new school's going to be located, that's been brought up to the public. And certainly that's a big issue too. What is the time frame to build this school? Once the board approves it, is that going to fit into the plan? School population study. We really haven't even talked about that. And I mentioned in one meeting that for the last 4 years, the school population has only varied by about 50 students from the mean, which means that there hasn't been much movement for the last 4 years. In fact, in 1 year, there was even less students, by a few students. So we really, in my opinion, don't know where we're going. I think we need to hold this off until the end of the year, let the school board mull over this. And I certainly, under these circumstances, I really couldn't support it as it is now.
Stephanie, no, I agree. We've talked about this before. It's
is an arbitrary number to throw $20 million up against the wall, because that might be what it cost. And that, I think there was another comment, Louisa built one from 19 or 18, so that's about what it's going to cost.
Well, the hospital is building the hospital for about something like $45 million, and that's for about 1,500 students. So you really don't know, and I don't think there's been much inflation. So I think we're really sort of jumping the gun, and I'd rather hear from the school board what they feel. And I'd like to know how many, for example, at the high school, they tell me that there's still room for another 100 students over there. Well, how many more students can we put in Central? I don't know. We need to know some of these things, and I think this is sort of jumping the gun, and we could wait another 9 months, and we could have more information. We wouldn't know how many students we put in this last year. So I would hope the board would let the school act and not us at this time.
I would disagree with both of you, gentlemen, for several reasons. I mean, one, the Havana, again, once again, we've got a very bad habit in this community of kicking things down the road until they're 2 acres old. And then we end up paying pretty petty for it, and we have to pay funding. So that sort of thing, you know, we being able to put it on a plan, it doesn't mean we're committing to $20 million. And the cost could come into $15 million. It could be $30 million. I don't know what the cost is. I don't know if anybody knows what the cost is, but at least it's on the CIP so that we have some sort of conversation over the next 9 months with the school board to see exactly what they believe their needs are. If you come back to us and say, no, I really don't need a new elementary school, I don't think that's going to be very good. But then we'll take it off. They say, you know what, it may not be two, may not be one, we may need two schools. So we need to hear that, but at least we need to put some sort of figure on the paper so that people mentally wrap their heads around the idea that this is coming down the pipe and that we need to be able to tackle this community. Rather than the conversation with the high school, for instance, has been for 10 years, and, you know, that certainly wasn't a very clean process, and it's cost this community $5 million. So, I think it's a conversation we need to have early. We need to start planning for it now. And if the schools come back with a different number, they come back with a different number. But at least let's start having a conversation in a plan context rather than having a conversation in a budget context.
The fact that we put that here is the catalyst for the conversation to start. If we do not do something, it'll not really happen. So we need to get there and hopefully focus and get it done.
I agree. Those are my thoughts on that. I would be in favor of never keeping it. So.
Okay, and there's another issue that I want to bring up. I'll see that page. When you look here at the top at number 8, it has Crossland Trail Park Development. And you go out to the year of 15, it has $110,000 cash and $110,000 grant. What if we don't get the grant? What happens to the cash from the county side?
It doesn't get used.
It doesn't get used?
It goes back to Charleston.
Okay. Let me make another comment then. I'm looking at the Blue Mountain Heritage Trail Foundation. Here's what it says in this folder.
I was in a meeting with the other night about this.
Well, I'm going to say something. The Heritage Trail has pledged $5,000 to help the county develop a new master plan for the park. The county has committed $110,000 in its capital improvement plan for the year 15 for this project. So this is another example of a potentially successful public-private partnership here in Savannah County. So, you know, I would have thought that nothing is in stone at that point.
Who makes
the commitment?
Mr. Moss made a commitment on behalf of the county.
Very strong words I saw as well, and I was meeting with them in advice and explaining they're well aware of the dollars there is not to put that thing.
That's not law.
No, absolutely not. What? There's no financial commitment to anything beyond what's in fiscal year 14.
Yeah. Or their president. How am I supposed to interpret that? As it's written,
that's their hope.
I didn't see a hope and commitment with two very different words.
I understand. When I read that, I had just
sure. I told my word, my wife, well, the word commitment meant hope. I think
you
can say
about that. Mr. Moss and the rest of the members of the congregation on Thursday night.
Very nice strangers.
That was Thursday. They're well aware that from the county administrator's perspective, that I'm very leery of putting any money towards a master plan just because they want to put some money towards it. It's nothing to do with it, but that requires board action. And I've been assured that the master plan, once it's done, can sit on the shelf for the next 9 years if it doesn't get funded. Except I'm not a fan. No. Doing a plan, I'll let it sit for 10 years because just gets musty and moldy, you've got to do it again. And the $110,000 for the next year is, like everything else on the CIP, a placeholder as a future potential discussion item, not a commitment, obligation, requirement to do, must do. The only things on the CIP that have a tail, things that are required to be done, that are type tied to the first year.
This is a great example of perception and reality. And I've been saying that now for the second year on the CIP. It's been called the dream sheet. It's been called a lot of things.
The CIP is good. I mean, it is good
plan. But, you know, when you're looking at the optics.
Mr. Weaver, what do you say?
This is the remedy. This is.
For the remedy of what? It's
another $110,000 to county.
Well, I just leave it there. I mean, you can put it down.
I just want to make it clear that it's not
a commitment.
Yes.
That's nothing but a dream.
Yes.
You can use that definition from the
skip. You know, I would be tempted to pull it out if I got a grant on the end. If that's a grant.
There's something between a dream and a reality, too.
That's what it should be.
Yeah. I mean, there's a place there for that as well. So,
and that's true.
I mean, that doesn't mean kick out.
I'm a little surprised. I mean, I'll make this comment about the park development in terms of a master plan. $220,000 might be expensive.
That's not the master plan, that's the park development.
That's the actual development.
Yeah, and I don't think there's any reasonable chance we can get a master plan done and then get money available and actually develop the park. There's too many things that are still here on the Crofton Park property.
And just to remind you to exactly what the Crofton Trail Park, you remember a few years back, Mr. Ott, before he came on the board, actually engineered the landslide between the Lake Monticello Association of I believe it was the county, in order to get the canal locks that were there. Listen, you have the opportunity to go ahead and scramble around the rocks. It's actually really cool. It would be really nice to have something there.
Yeah, and for the public, if you know where the boat landing is at the Crofton Bridge, the other side of the
side and north. Yeah.
And on both sides is the project we're talking about.
Right. So, I mean, I don't mind developing a vision for it, but, you know, when economic problems aren't exactly rosy either. So I'm not, and I don't think this board is going to make conditions to commit to a vision that I have. So I have to be challenged.
I see we're going to end up to this year.
No.
I'd like to see, to go back to what I was saying, I'd like to see the cash out of the taken out. If you get the grant,
the reason why you keep it in there is so that it can be proper. You can't, if it's not listed in your CIP, you can't be proper.
But that's what you said about the schools also. The schools, we can't proper schools.
I mean, you could
hypothetically,
but that was finding the development of our $21 per school. That's the reason why you keep it in the CIP so it can be proper. That's the reason why it's there.
And that's what the $20 million.
That's the reason even for the $20 million to be proper. Okay, is there any further conversation? Mr. Weaver, do you have any other topics you
want to
have?
No.
Okay. Is there any further discussion of the CIP as a whole or any other items?
Mr. Chair, I move that the resolution entitled the adoption of the 2014 to 2018 capital improvement.
Motion is made by Mr. Chester, seconded by Mrs. Booker. Any further conversation?
No, I just think we're setting ourselves back a little bit, believing that's going to be in there. Certainly, my protest to the CIP will be that $20 million, I think, is a responsibility of the school board. And that's
what
I feel about it. I won't vote for it.
Well, I'm certain they will not fail in their responsibility. Is there any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Passes 3-2. And that's Mr. Weaver and Mr. Oliver. Moving on to tab Q, FY 2014, operations budget and tax rates as well.
you change your request costing to lease to? So there are only 1,000 punish from 9,016 and job one from 17,446. So those are included in the budget package, and we move those funds. So the dollars are exactly the same as you started for the total, but they've been moved to realign for these 2 months. Those are the ones you made last week. And there's no adjustment. The obvious 150K we just changed.
Okay, yeah, I was going to ask about that. There's no adjustment in the FY14 budget based on the 150,000.
That in the... This package right here, this budget package, which is the one you've seen all along, includes the $150,000 change. Okay. So therefore, when you come down to here, 64,881, it was 65,3 or 65,4. But the tax rate remains unchanged. I'm sorry, not 64,881, 65,162. The tax rate remains unchanged. But the dollars have been adjusted on the 151 revenue side expense side.
Very good. Any questions regarding the budget?
And the two lines that are affected, I'll show you on here, but the two lines that are affected are marked in yellow.
The first resolution will be...
I move the resolution entitled the resolution to adopt the 2014, operations budget, set the tax rate and appropriate funds to be adopted.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Chester, seconded by Mr. Allenbach. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Budget passes 5%.
Mary has it.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
So, thank you for all the fun here from everybody.
Yep.
The numbers that are in your package, the resolution that's in your package, is different because it includes this 150K change. And so this resolution you're seeing on the board actually includes those corrections. This is the one that Mr. Kenny will sign as the chairman. The motion is exactly the same, but the dollars show the dollars change based on the 150 in the record.
Okay. We have no presentations before the board. Thank you, Mr. Davis. Again, thank you to the members of the staff, members of the school board for their cooperation this year. And certainly to the ladies of Java. Take care, people. We have no presentations before the board. We're moving on to the consent agenda. We have tab R minutes of April 3rd, tab S minutes of April 10th, tab T, FY13, Board of Life Supplemental Appropriation, tab U, Outreach and Engagement Water Reporting Appointments, and specifically regarding Mr. Chester and Mr. Naples, and tab B, Raymond James, Financial Board Advisory, and unnamed Capital Reserve Fund request for HVAC at the courthouse.
Well, that's the one we haven't seen. So we had CII in the courthouse last week because we had AC problems. We did their inspection. We found that the original courthouse when it was built did not include isolation pads and vibration dampers on the entire AC system. Therefore, it leads to lots of leaks in their system. This is the types of things that need to be done to fix that system. It's really beyond the warranty for that the design should have included that initially. These are the types of items that CII would propose to fix. Mr. Stevens has certainly worked closely with them to make sure that this is a valid list, and so therefore the request, I think it was about $17,000, but I didn't want to put it on the next agenda and wait another 2 weeks to get it fixed with summer. And I don't know any other way around. Mr. Stevens can answer more detailed questions. And this is the sheet that we just prepared for the report.
Needs to be done?
Yes, sir.
Any questions from the board?
We have a motion.
And that's water.
It's a motion to move the consent agenda.
I move the consent agenda.
Is there a second? Motion made by Mr. Gardner, Mrs. Salt, Mrs. Poker, seconded by Mr. Allenbrock, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Passes by security. We have nothing for accounts payable. We have no items of unfinished business. Are there any items of new business before the board?
I don't know.
Jane Slojo. Thank you, Mr. Chester, for your commitment to this topic. It's not an easy task. There's a million ways you can do it wrong. You can do it right, nobody pats you on the back. But difficult decision to make, but more than everybody would have been.
That's exactly right. So you have to make for yourself.
Or you can hunt on this issue. Do you have any other items to do business for the board? We have a second round of public comment. Again, please remember to keep within 5 minutes on topic. You're right to the board. Is there anyone you need to address the board? Yes, sir.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, Board of Supervisors. James Davis for Savannah County Rescue Squad. Back on February 27th, I sent out a letter after being advised and made aware of a certain amount of funds that had been appropriated a couple years ago in the approximately 2010 budget year. In regards to the matter of a vehicle renewal, I asked around and found out what the appropriate recourse was to go about requesting the funds, drafted the letter and sent it out. Twice I've been trying to ascertain the status of getting the funds released, and both times I've been referred by the finance director to someone else, the last person being Mr. Nichols. Simply put, information is in the letter. I have copies of it if you would like to see it. As I was made aware of by our rescue, our association president, Mr. Carpenter, that the money is designed to do a renewal of a vehicle. As such, even in the letter, I have stated that that is what our intentions are to do with it, to renew a vehicle. Yet I still have not received any affirmation as to getting the funds released. At this time, I'm just asking if you, the board, can assist with helping to get the funds released immediately so we can move forward with renewing a vehicle. I do have offers of quotes from two different companies, as well as a special quote for a special project vehicle, if possible, one that could help and assist with trying to renew our mutual aid agreements to the other counties as well. If there are no further questions, I leave it to your hands.
Thank you, Mr. Davis.
Yes, the formal letter has been signed up with the president of the corporation, the Savannah Rescue Corporation. The letter has been sent back to the president of the corporation, president of the Fire and Rescue Association, and Mr. Davis. And Mr. Davis has been informed that what's required, the way this happens on the individual due on the county, the original task, original purpose approved by the budget, by the board. This was in the fiscal year 12 budget, fiscal year 11 discussion, fiscal year 12 budget, $100,000 for re-chassis and ambulance at, for the van rescue. Once the item is decided, once they're ready to go on that item, they come and work with the county does a negotiation on the contract, gets the contract in order when the contract is in order and needs to be paid, then the county contribution goes in, the department, the rescue association contribution goes in, and the contract is paid. In the event that the organization wants something different than what was originally approved in the purposes by the board, then they have to come back and perform a request to the board supervisor requesting a reclassification of this fund. The funds were approved for re-chassis and ambulance. And I don't have the authority to make that change. I tried to make that change. Certainly that's the way it happens with the rescue and the fire service. We own those vehicles. Lake Monticello Fire and Rescue is different because we don't own those vehicles. We provide that money to their operating budget and they use it towards that purpose. But still have to use towards that kind of purpose. So to me the path is clear. If a rechassis is done, then we'll negotiate that contract working with that rescue. We'll end up writing the contract, signing the contract, paying the contract, paying the contribution from that rescue. If they intend to use the money for some different purpose, and come back home and be board of supervisors request for reclassification of funds. process, but it's the process of how the taxpayer dollars are used.
And that was 2 years ago.
2 years ago, now Mr. Davis wasn't part of that original discussion about that he was here as chief yet, but that it was the money has been there for some time. I'm not sure what the draw is from a county point of view. There's been lots of turnover last year, so you don't necessarily know who to remind who. But the fire task association requested the funds, because that's where the funds could request the funds. So it was clear that it was approved 2 years ago, and maybe people were ready to do it or went over to be asking. I don't know, I wasn't driving. All I know is that the funds are waiting to be used for that purpose. And if you want for different purposes, that would be brought by the funding by the board.
James, that's it.
Well, I don't know how they could be waiting there for 2 years. For me, if it's not used, it goes back into the general fund, and then it has to be reappropriated again.
Well, see, I think money is multi-year money. It can sit there, especially on building contracts. I mean, it may be there for years.
Well, yeah.
In this case, it's
getting away.
One would have thought it would have been done the following year, originally. But then not that Mr. Davis was here.
No, it wasn't.
Mr. Davis, that's sufficient, or do you have other issues beyond that?
Well, my understanding is I've spoken to Mr. Carpenter, the president, and he's advised me that I've done the appropriate recourse to request the money. He does not know what else it was that I was supposed to do. But if that's what he's saying, if that's supposed to be the new process to go forward from now, then I'll get back with him and see what Mr. Carpenter says should be next for it then. But to my understanding, the way it was done previously is you simply send out the letter requesting the money once you know it's there.
And it's conceivable. I've talked to Mr. Carpenter about this multiple times, but it is conceivable. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but maybe Mr. Carpenter's thinking about the Lake Monticello process. Because that's a vastly different process than it's for food bank rescue, food bank fire. And we don't do the same things with their vehicles and their equipment and their money as we do with food bank fire and rescue. They're just different corporations, and the ownership is different. We do not own the equipment for Lake Monticello. We do own all the equipment for fire and rescue, to then fire and rescue. And so maybe that's it. In any case, we'll gladly work to then rescue. If a rechassis is required, our contracting officer will help get the rechassis set up. And if that's not required, if you want to reclassify the money, then you have to formally request what you want the money for, and then we go through the same process.
How do you formally request it? Because the letter that he had done the
tax
chassis, it has renewed some. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, well, it has three different definitions in there, which is, we need a little clarity. We can work with Mr. Davis and his staff to get that. But,
right.
But it's got.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
And there's going to be issues with rechassis.
They want to renew, I guess.
I don't know
if the cost, if it's not cost effective to rechassis a vehicle versus purchasing a new one, then we're looking at taking the funds, adding to it, and purchasing a new one.
And that's going to replace
one of the five.
Wait a second. What's it going to replace?
It's going to replace one of our five ambulances, hopefully the one in Fort Canyon.
The one in Fort Canyon.
Yes. That one's having significant electrical problems lately.
Can you get us costs on what you need for repairs? We had this, we had a repair list. Sounds like the appropriate course of action is the county administrator go ahead and handle the branch. So if we file through the contracts office, we can file with the branch your business.
It's the Fire Rescue Association. We've requested and expected in the past the Fire Rescue Association to bring these issues forward in the budget process. And so
it's a contract issue, and we'll go ahead and do that. It's not something that needs to be coming forward to the board in terms of reappropriation of funds. Let's go ahead and sort that out and make that happen.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
So thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Is there anyone else wishing to address the board for some public comments? Just a step along. Come on. It wouldn't be the same if you did.
You're right. But I really, really appreciate everything that you've done for the seniors. I'm glad we didn't have to struggle like we did last year, because it was a battle, but you came through for us like the true champions that you are, and you should be commended for the work that you've done for us, not only for the seniors at the center, but for all the seniors in Fluvanna County. Now, I feel that if there's I should leave this place and go somewhere else, I'll be fighting for some more seniors. But as long as I'm here, y'all did a wonderful job, and I thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Anyone else wish to address the board? Hearing none, we'll go ahead and close the second round of public comment. One additional item for you, real quick. Count Columbia Recovery Funds for Fire and Rescue. You're on that?
I'm waiting for, I've got the history from Mr. Carpenter, Mr. Brennan, Pat's, Mrs. Group doing some work out for me. I'm a little flustered with it, but we're going to push this back again to get the money. But it requires action on Columbia's part.
We do have the funds for the fire. We have been accumulating those. Part of those funds, and I'll get Chip to get us an accounting of it, were used for the water system. So there was increased fire protection. Hydrants were put in down. And I'm not sure what the percentages of the accumulated fire funds. So, but we will get that to you. I've already talked to Pat about this. So we've already got our... everything together. We just need to fill out our annual report, which is what it is. And they're going to ask for an accounting there.
Okay, very good. Yeah, just for the board's education, the common for me is that aside a certain number of funds in the town of Columbia, like most small towns, is about $8,000. And that's specifically supposed to be put towards fire or rescue, or that's maintenance of hydrants, or helping a volunteer fire or rescue association, things like that. That's what we're discussing here. So $8,000 is something we're paying for the moment. We just want to make sure we secure that for the town so that.
I think the deadline is June 23rd or June 13th, so we have that. We're aware of it. I'm working with Pat, so great.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You have any other new items of business for the board? We're in a close session.
Clark Union will have their third Clark Union Community Day on the 27th. Celebrate children's at morning from 10 to 12. Clark Union is from 10 to 3. It has grown tremendously. And please encourage people. Sir? And that night, Savannah has talent. There's a prom that night as well. So the 27th is a real positive. But we'll be finishing it out and we'll go and do the talent. I'm not going to prom. I'm not going to the prom. But, no. But anyway, it's a busy day.
I never returned my time.
And I'm sorry. You know,
sorry. That's not the first prom.
But I hope so that people from the county here will come over to talk to you. Because it's going to be really nice. We have a car show. A lot of vendors, and it's
going to
be nice.
It's
going to
be warm
on
this year's
line.
Yes,
and a lot of cakes going to be sold.
Touch. We have all Christ made man. We have bluegrass country
banner. Lots of cold drinks. Yeah. Tea. Do you want to see the
the bridge dedication.
I'll ask this question for all of you. Okay. Any other items to do this? We're in your close session. Here in the office, we have this.
I'm going to do the supervisors again with the closed meeting pursuant to the provisions of section 2.2-3, section 1.8.1, personnel matters. Section 2.2-3711A(3), section 2.2-3711A(6),
by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Mrs. Tressel. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Passes 5-7. Shortest order.
Steve.
Mr. Weaver.
Mr. Chairman, I move that those meetings be adjourned and the Houghton County Board of Supervisors convene again in open session. Second, and recorded vote.
Is there a second? Motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Mrs. Booker. Recorded vote. Mr. Chester?
Aye.
Mr. Weaver?
Aye.
Mrs. Booker?
Aye.
Mr. Schallenberg?
Aye.
Chairman votes aye. Passes 5-0. Mr. Weaver?
Be it resolved to the best of my knowledge on public business matters lawfully exempted from open meeting requirements under Section 2.2-3711-A of the Code of Virginia, 1950 as amended, and only says public business matters were identified in the motion for which the closed meeting was convened or heard, discussed, or considered in the meeting.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Mrs. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Passes 5-0. Is there anything that this is for the board? Is there a motion to adjourn?
Second.
The motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Mrs. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Passes 5-0. They both have